This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
And welcome to Stephen A. Russell, who is our film reviewer and who's in this week to talk about what's going on in Melbourne at the moment. Now, you're just slowly getting over the film festival.
I am, Neil. I'm a shadow of my former self, having seen 45 films at MIFF.
45? Wow.
Goodness me.
Why did you go to so many?
Because I am an addict, and it is...
This is what he does.
It's what I do.
45.
Oh my goodness. I know, it's terrible, isn't it? But look, I thought we'd make, like, Prince today and talk about a little bit of controversy.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
So, first of all, I'm going to start with a film that actually had its Australian premiere at MIFF, but has now it's now been on release. It came out just after when I was last on here 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And that is the 9th studio movie from Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Breaking all sorts of records, supposedly.
Whoa,
everyone's going to see it.
Ridiculously.
We talk about that, because David and I mentioned it last week, but neither of us seen or heard about it, so we're waiting to hear.
Well, I've heard so much about it, but yeah. I haven't seen it. And I was going to try and get there this week to see it, but hearing amazing reviews about it.
Well, look, it has actually divided people. It's quite an unusual Tarantino film.
Aren't they always like that? Doesn't he divide people regardless?
Well, I guess so. But I think it's more divided people who generally like Tarantino.
Okay.
There's been some not everyone like. Look, basically, this is a quieter Tarantino film. I think it's a more mature Tarantino film. Mm-hmm.
And his second to last film that he's going to make.
Well, he says, but he's already trying to wiggle out of that a little, because he's been hovering around Star Trek.
Yep.
And he has said that if he did someone else's, you know, wheelhouse, it wouldn't count.
Oh, well,
and
right.
He's also kind of made peace with Uma Thurman, and they'd been estranged for a while after she got badly injured on the set of Kill Bill. Uh-huh. And there has been talk of him making Kill Bill 3, but he wouldn't count that either. Kill Bill 1 and 2 do not count as two separate films in this 9.
Is that how he snuck in the 9? Because I was just thinking that.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
9 just seems like such a small number of movies, but...
Look, it's actually a headache. I'm just going with the official 9. If you count them up, it's already a little bit wiggly. But look, I really like this film. It's very much set in 60s LA. This is where Tarantino grew up, you know. It's a very emotional film about...
Well, he throws back to those eras all the time, doesn't he? And,
yeah.
And to the music of those eras.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Look, this is sort of core Tarantino in a way. It is a lot less violent. It is a lot less sweary, until it isn't. You know, at the end, it certainly blows up. But it doesn't have that sort of consistent, snappy, hyper-comic violence. It stars Leonardo DiCaprio, who was in Django Unchained.
Yep. Yep.
Plays a kind of washed-up Western star who's struggling to, you know, continue to be big in the movies. Yep. He's getting kind of bad guy of the week in various other shows. And it's sort of like a buddy movie with him and Brad Pitt playing his former stuntman and basically odd job man. And so really the film is sort of about their kind of strange relationship and them mooching around LA. Now, where it, you know, a lot of people have focused on the fact that this is set in 1969.
Yeah.
Was it 69? And it does have our Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate.
Mm.
And so people have kind of really focused on the fact that it touches on the Manson story, but it's really not about that. Like, basically, Leonardo DiCaprio's character Rick lives next door to the Polanskis. And so you see that world. We have another Australian actor, Damon Herriman, plays Charles Manson.
That's right.
But his turn in this is actually microscopic. People can also see him playing Manson, bizarrely, in the new series of David Fincher's Mindhunter on Netflix. So if you want more of Manson...
Is he in Mindhunter?
Yes!
Do you know what? I've only just got onto that.
Well, there you go.
Because I've only had Netflix for about 6 months, and so therefore I've just started on the new one.
Right.
It's about Manson in the new series.
Well, they sort of look at a different serial killer each week.
They keep on mentioning that in this first series. So it's interesting in the second series that they move into it. Anyway, that's by the by.
Part of the controversy is that, you know, Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate doesn't have a huge speaking role.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I read. There was a lot of talk about the fact that they played down that role, and actually that was more of almost a token role, female role.
Did she end up on the cutting room floor, do you think?
No, Damon Herriman did a bit, but... Look, really, I think it's twofold. First of all, it is not meant to be about the Manson story. That's sort of a, you know, it's in the background, it's set in this time, but it's not... it's interesting. It certainly deals with that, but it's not the centre of the story. However, she kind of is. Even though, you know, I think sometimes people assume that dialogue is all that there is to a role, and I would really disagree with that. You can do an awful lot without speaking. You know, she's a great actor. She has an incredible presence in all of the scenes. It's a really touching, bittersweet look at this horrible, you know, loss of someone who was doing so well. You know, she was pregnant.
And very innocent, you know, in this situation. And but I also love it, and it's been a lot in the promos, and I've heard it spoken about, that she actually goes to a cinema and says...
This is what I was going to say. This is my absolute favourite moment of the entire film, where she goes to a cinema during the day and she watches The Wrecking Crew. And it's really beautiful because you get to see this moment of her just being surrounded by an audience, loving her work, and also the actual footage on screen is the real footage with the real Sharon Tate.
Awesome.
So it's kind of it really does, you know, it's a beautiful tribute to her work.
Tarantino is so clever, is that he thinks of interesting little things like that. Yeah. And even the Manson a little twist in it. It's nice that he has thrown all that in.
Yeah.
So you know, like, are you a yay or a nay for this?
Look, I'm a definite yay. I'm still kind of mulling over. I really want to see... They're actually showing it in 35mm at the Astor here in Melbourne.
And people are queuing to
massively.
See it.
Massively.
Yep.
Taking out every session with it for the whole month.
I know. Mm. But look, I would definitely give it 4 stars. I thought it was really beautiful. I'm not going to say, but what he does with the story left me quite profoundly emotionally moved at the end.
Brilliant.
So, look, go see it, I reckon.
And we can ask for?
It made 8.5 million last week, so people are thronging to it.
Yeah.
They really are. We might jump to... There's all sorts of controversy going on at the moment. There is also an Australian film opening next week, which we've mentioned before, by the Babadook director Jennifer Kent, The Nightingale, set in colonial Tasmania.
Yep.
It's got some of that vibe of Tarantino. It has a vengeance quest when a young Irish convict, her family are brutally murdered, and she goes after the British soldiers who are responsible. And it has this incredible scene-stealing performance from Bekele Ganambar, who won Best Young Actor at the Venice Film Festival, as the Aboriginal tracker who helps her go through literally the centre of Tasmania.
Mm.
I thought that was a 5-star masterpiece.
Wow. And also, I've been reading, or I've seen something about it, that Tasmania's getting this reputation of making great film and making really interesting stuff as well. And they've even got a name for it now, and with Tasmania in the name.
It's like an art Tas Noir or something?
Something like that.
It's beautiful landscapes they can capitalise on there.
Well, look, that's also... I mean, I think that's spectacular. It does have a lot of violence in it. People have walked out. Mm. You know, go in knowing what you're getting.
Yep.
But if you're open to that, I almost think I prefer that to the Tarantino school of showing violence as comic. I actually prefer when it's shown for the horror that it is, but it is a lot more confronting then.
Okay.
Also Australian this week, I'm going to quickly... We've mentioned it before, but I absolutely adored The Australian Dream, which is written by the ABC presenter Stan Grant, and it's about the last few years of Adam Good's footy career.
One of the most tragic stories in Australia, and history is proving it now.
I know.
And the fact is, this is the second one that's out, isn't it?
And look, they're great companion pieces, David. Yep. I actually think it's well worth watching the final quarter on Channel 10, I believe.
But it was also shown at a film festival as well.
That one debuted at the Sydney Film Festival,
whereas
The Australian Dream opened the Melbourne Film Festival.
Yep.
Yeah. Now look, it's a powerful, and it really puts it in context of race in this country, where we're at and where we need to be, and the big gulf, you know, between those. So look, I think this is incredible Australian filmmaking. We're so spoiled right now. There's incredible stuff going on. Go see them. There's also another controversial one opening this week, called Dragged Across Concrete by writer-director S. Craig Zahler, who did Bone Tomahawk. And the reason this is sort of twofold controversial, because it's a really gritty, pulpy crime film. So again, you know, hints of Tarantino, except less humorous. And it has a leading role for a former Mad Max star, Mel Gibson.
You actually call him a Mad Max star, not all everything else he's done.
Well, you know,
you went way back to Mad Max.
I feel like that's his, you know, I mean, I'm certainly not going to acknowledge his attempt at a Scottish accent in a certain film that shall remain unnamed.
But then he had those ones, cop ones that
Lethal
he played.
Lethal Weapon.
Where he was huge.
One, two, three, four.
He has been banished to the cool room for a very long time for, you know, anti-Semitic comments, for domestic violence.
Yep.
So what's interesting about this film is that he, alongside Wedding Crashers star Vince Vaughn, plays two racist, violent cops who are busted on iPhone and are therefore, you know, put on, they're kind of put in on the shelf for a while.
Mm.
They have no money. And so what they then decide to do is they're going to follow some really violent bank robbers and attempt to rob the robbers to make money. Now, it's kind of interesting because you're like, is this film commenting on his well-documented behaviour? is that part of what it's doing?
But it's not his first film back, though, is it? Because
he's directed a few.
Yeah, and he also was a bit of a cameo part in... he played somebody's father and grandfather to kids. For what was that? One of the comedy.
I can't remember.
Thing.
It was some forgettable comedy.
Yeah. He has been rearing his head a little bit.
Yeah.
But I actually think it's quite an interesting thing that all of a sudden he thinks, I'm going to do it, and go in feet first here. So.
Well, look, I feel like a lot of people are going to make up their own mind whether he should be brought in from the cold or not. The film itself is literally 2 hours and 45 minutes long. There is no need for this film to be that long. It is deeply annoying.
Yeah. Any good, though?
Oh, look, I'm so torn. It looks great. There's some really interesting scenes. I think it suffers incredibly with pacing. If you're really into that kind of hard-boiled, pulpy stuff that's really retrograde, like there's no attempt to modernise that, it's very much leaning into that.
It's the sort of thing that I'm not interested in. Even though I'm into detective-y stuff, it doesn't appeal.
It does a bit Three Billboards as well, because initially I thought it was very cleverly metatextually commenting on that stuff, but then it really, you know, having set up these two cops is thoroughly odious. Exerts a lot of energy into making them sort of more heroic by the end. Look, one thing I will say is True Detective star Tori Kittles also plays an African-American who's just come out of jail, and they're both sort of tied into the same thing, because he is trying to make money by becoming a getaway driver. So their fates are very much, you know, slowly, inexorably pulled together.
Yeah.
I thought he was great in it.
And Vince Vaughn, what's he like? Because I really like, I remember way back before he became this, mega star with all his comedy stuff, Remember there was one film, Clay Pigeons, was it, or something, that he played a really, you know, like a murderer played it so well. Then he did all the comedy. So he's actually quite a good actor.
Yeah, look, and he is good as a bad guy in here. I definitely see it. And we don't really have any time, but last minute I am also going to say, please also check out an Italian film that opens next week. Also a crime film, Dog Man. The lead actor got Best Actor at the Cannes Film Festival last year.
Who's that?
He's an Italian, Matteo Garrone. That's the director, and Marcello Fonte.
Oh, Marcello, I love that name.
I adore that. That's a much tighter, also quite, it really pulls you into the story and things spin out of control until an incredible gobsmacking end.
Oh, cool.
So go see, that was 4.5. I'm probably going to give Dragged Across Concrete, I think, 3.5.
Right, okay.
Maybe 3.5.
Good on you.
No problems.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you, Stephen.
Oh, now, Stephen, you're off to the Toronto Film Festival.
I am. So we're still debating whether I'm going to phone in from like 1 a.m.
1 a.m. I can see that you won't be in any state. But anyway, we'll talk about that. But have a fantastic trip.
So we'll probably see you plenty to talk about after.
About a month's time, probably.
Excellent.
Then. All right. Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
You're enjoying 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.